Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah.
We adore you. We magnify you.
Glorify you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus.
Pour our love upon you, Jesus. We praise you. Magnify you and glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify your name.
We love you, Lord.
Glorify your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
How loving and kind.
Maybe quietly and reverently be seated. Just, you just continue. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Would you just continue to lift those hands up? About half mask, or just however high you want, and just continue to magnify Him. We glorify you. You are who you say you are. We've come to know you in the fullness, Lord, of that expression of love. But there's still so much. There's so much we've just begun. Magnify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We pour ourselves out on you. We pour our love out on you, Jesus. Take us from this place. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've provided a path that's perfect. And if we just stay on it, continue to yield to the teacher. Continue to yield to the Comforter. Father. Horesema. Bedivlasia dokalasea. I desire that they would know me in that place of comfort, saith the Spirit of grace. Yielding is something taught. It is in your new nature. That capacity to be fathered by me, to yield yourself to me, but I desire to comfort you in your infirmities. Rely upon me. Speak often to me as a friend. And you'll find that on every level, I'll build you up. On your most holy faith. But there's no fear. But Ezekielo. It is my desire to fill every moment and every space of your day with presence. Learn presence and learn to stay. It does not matter to me if you're in the workforce or you're surrounded by the wicked. In fact, I take great pleasure in holding a place for you always. Rely upon my Spirit. But I said you have the unction within you, the anointing of the Holy One. Know this, that anointing that's in you is also to be produced in a place where it not only is in you, but it's with you. And I speak of that place where presence not only envelops you, but that you control the situations through my Spirit. You're never left to guessing. You're never left to debate. You always know. And even in quietness, my compass is set inside of you. I teach my church moment by moment, day by day, how to overcome. Do not run and be weary, Do not walk and faint, but rather wait in my presence and be renewed continually, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. It's good to know that we're headed somewhere. I'm not talking about the physical realm. I'm talking about you as an individual. I mean, where do you go in all this? Well, you're perfect. Your place where you're headed, if there's one goal in mind, it's to be conformed to His image. That's what you're after. Per se, we're not seeking revival. We're asking Him for something. But the greatest thing we want is to be turned over to Him. What can you expect? What's the best in this life in spirituality? Candy and I were talking yesterday, and I said, we were talking about, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about the fight, but we were really glorifying God in it. And where we come to and what place that He's seeking to bring us to. You know this. This isn't a great announcement to you, but as long as you live in this body, there's always something there that you'll have to contend with. Because He fought the apostles right up till they gave their last. So even in like, we're not carrying something inside of us that's plastic. Like we're creating this mindset, oh, there's a revival coming and whoopee. Never, no more battles. He lost our address. We don't know. He just forgot about us and had to go find somebody else. No, it's not like that. But there is a place in Him that you can get where you're absolutely no more good to Him. And I mean, you cannot be manipulated anymore. And really that place is in the perfecting of His love. Paul came to a place where when he said, I am persuaded in Romans 8, that persuasion evidently came through a lot of tests and trials. And turning it over and learning how to fall in love with Him. In the book of Ephesians, when he describes that place of perfection, of course, in 13, Corinthians 13, he said, there's one that never fails. One thing that never fails. It's His love. Hallelujah. So we're standing on this side and we're saying, okay, I love you, I love you, I love you. Smooch, smooch, smooch. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And He's saying, I love you too. And I'm going to perfect my love in you. Because you have the capacity, but you've got to grow. See, the human spirit, when it was born again, it received the capacity to grow spiritually. You didn't get all that you're ever going to get. That's why in Ephesians he says, he prayed that prayer that we would come to the fullness of God. And then he described what that fullness was. It was His love. And He is able. God, through His Spirit, is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. According to that power that works in us. He wasn't talking about, in all that context, He wasn't talking about He's able to. Now He is. He's all those things where He comes and meets the physical. He's the healer of the body. He's the prosperer. He does all that. But when he said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, he was talking about you were in a stalemate position. Even being born again, you saw him and it wouldn't matter if there was 1,000 sermons. The love of God, the love of God, the love of God. You're still paralyzed to your own knowledge of what that love is. But he said this, the same thing he said in Romans 8:26. He'll make intercession for you. So the Holy Spirit's able, through the power that was working in you, to actually pronounce you to another place, a graduation place of really receiving the capacity of His love. So what happens in that? You're standing here saying, I want to know you. And He says, I want to know you too. The only thing is, your spirit's going to have to come up higher. I'm going to have to do a work. Not just a convincing of head knowledge, but something's going to have to happen where I take you from the place where you're at and pull your spirit up into a place where I can baptize it with my love and my fullness. And you don't even know how to get here. Because even when you're saying Abba at this point and loving Him like all get out and presence and everything, He says you're still locked in to your own capacity. You still can't get there except, but He's able to do exceedingly. He can take you beyond the perimeters of where we normally stop at. And that perimeter on the other side of it, that's revival. Because what happens when a bunch of people step over into that kind of love, it doesn't matter what He comes with. It will not have the same effect that it has now. It doesn't. The reason being is because inside of His love, there's an atmosphere that absolutely, absolutely shuts out everything and just absolutely squelches anything that He can possibly do. So you're no longer any good to Him. People can't make you mad enough to stop. Sickness will present itself to you and you just, No, thank you. So is there a place? Have any of us got there yet? No, but I see an image in front of me. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. We're seeking that place. So if you step over into greater levels of His agape, all of hell, that's what... Did she read the psalm said the enemy has come to a perpetual end? He has. Well, he has. Did he leave the earth? No. But how does he come to an absolute end where you say, really, he did lose all track of you? Because like Paul said, it didn't matter what come. His grace was sufficient. You know how he arrived at that? Found a place where he said, I am persuaded. I've got to a place. It didn't matter. Take my house. Take my car. Take my this. Take my... I can get it back. And guess what? While I'm getting it back, I can lay me down to sleep. And I know when I awaken, He said in Psalms 3, He is still with me. Absolutely. He'll make my bed in my languishing, He said. In other words, when sickness does come against my body, I am convinced that He is the one that brings me out of it, and I am no longer manipulated by the evil one. He's lost. He's lost. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Where do you get that at? Praying in tongues. Lots of tongues. Lots of tongues. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. Would you say this with me? I say Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. These two guys up here cast out a lot of devils. Hallelujah. When they show up, I think we'll pick on these two guys and see what they got. Hallelujah. We really haven't got into the joy of all this yet. The joy is casting out devils, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover in full measure. Hallelujah. King is coming. He's coming. Praise God. He is absolutely coming. I can't wait for all this. Hallelujah. Mockley's in revival. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Well, why don't you stand up for just a couple minutes and we'll turn on the light so you can see each other a little better. Why don't you just give somebody a hug. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. We had Warren and Tina Green with us Sunday. They just stopped by. They didn't expect to do much. I said, "You got your guitar?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, bring it in." So she sang, and we enjoyed it. It was great, wasn't it? So they're going to come and do some more. I said, "Why don't you just come by and sing a little bit for us?" And Warren said, "You know, I've been saying a few things when I get a chance." I said, "Well, okay, well, you can say a few things here then. That's okay." Okay. Would like for you to kind of stretch your faith this way in case for some reason we didn't get a chance. I'll leave in the morning flying to Canada for a few days to preach a men's retreat. I covet your prayers. You're always backing up your pastor, I hope, wherever I'm at here on the planet. I'm praying for you. So those guys last year, man, it was unbelievable, the time. And the anointing fell, and it was very prophetic, and God brought forth a lot of healing to those men. And so I'm going to ask you to stretch your faith this way and kind of bathe me in prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I receive their prayers right now. Father, I pray that as we go into Canada, the power of God will go into that body of believers, into those men, and that everything that you've intended for us to do while we're gone, Lord, will be made manifest. Let the mind of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healings and workings of miracles, and the power of your word be manifest. I receive their prayers now as they petition you, lift up their friend and pastor. And I pray that God, that it'll not be that I'd be glorified, but that you'd be glorified in me. And I receive this grace now by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you take me and bring me back. And all that's done is for your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be praying for Homer too for Sunday. Back him up. Back him up. Hallelujah. Praise God. You'll get a chance a little bit later before the service is over to give. And man, grace. Hallelujah. Grace. When he said that the church in Macedonia, they were giving out of grace. It seemed like it came during a time where he said through the abundance of their poverty, they gave. It was some kind of fight. A real fight. But he said it was out of grace. And he said, "You know this. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, yet he became poor. That wasn't meaning he lived a lifestyle. He became poor when he stretched out his hands over heaven and earth. So you're going to be blessed. Not forgiving. You're going to be blessed one way or the other. If you choose. Hallelujah. And then as a result of it, Mockley is saved. Praise God. Amen. You guys ready? All right. Come on. Would you welcome these? This good looking couple. Amen.
I just want to say I'm glad to be back tonight, and I just always feel the presence of the Lord here. And a lot of times, for me, it's just hard to be up in front of people. The Lord really has to work with me on that. I don't know if any of you ever watched Bugs Bunny. That used to be my favorite cartoon. And I remember one where this guy found a frog. He sang opera, the frog did. So that guy thought, wow, I'll dress him up and put him on stage and I'll be famous. And he got him all dressed up and opened the curtains. And all the frog would do in front of people was say, ribbit. I feel that way sometimes when I get up here. And I have a tendency to be like Adam. Lord, the music that you gave me, make it sound good. But we just praise the Lord for being here.
And I want y'all to know that Tina and her mom have really been trying to help me with a proper pronunciation. Several times as we were driving down tonight, Becky, who is Tina's mother and whom you all prayed for, and we got a prayer cloth for on Sunday, and her Tina's dad is here. It's his birthday. Yeah. And but anyway, I've been really working a lot. Tina was embarrassed the other day, and I've been working a lot on how to properly pronounce Imalaki. I'm not from around here, as she told y'all the other day. And one other thing, just sometime real soon. As Bronk got you all to pray for him going up to Canada and for all the brothers that are going to be there. This is not something we do, two or three times a week or even two or three times a month. We do it when the Lord calls us and invites us. So if you all would at some point in time right now in just a little while, just say a prayer that the Spirit, that we allow the Spirit to work through us and what we're going to be singing. And what I will say in a few minutes, because it's all just trying to pass along, be a conduit of God's word to hopefully at least one person here tonight. God bless you. Thank you.
Now I'm going to do a couple of songs for my dad. The first song is Where the Soul of Man Never Dies.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the soul never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul never dies. No sighs fell out, no tears dim eyes, will all is and joy and love, and the soul never dies. A rose is blooming there for me, where the soul never dies, and I will spend eternity where the soul never dies. No sound fell out, no tear dim eyes, where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul never dies.
Just a little bit here. I'm going to do another song for him called Precious Memories. Just a little bit. I have to sing this one a little bit higher. I love this song. It's called How Great Is Our God. And we've been listening to the CDs of Pastor Brock and Brother Dave Roberson. And I've really been chewing on those CDs of Pastor Brock's about the walking in the Lord and how love starts at home. Starts right here with this man. And I haven't got over that CD yet. I've been chewing on it for a long time. And it has to start there, Lord. Yeah, it has to start there. And I just never did want to be like that, you know, be one way out of church and another way, you know, when you get to church, I'm a butterfly. You know, I want it to be that way. And I want, you know, the way Pastor Brock's been teaching. And but we've really been enjoying those CDs. Brother sent us the CDs of Brother Dave Roberson, is that right? And man, I tell you, we just have church in the car on our trips. We just have church.
If you got to drive 800 miles, you want to hear from the Lord.
Jesus.
see a band of angels, Lord, and they're coming after me. Oh, they ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Put your foot on the land and sea. Oh, don't you blow that trumpet, Gabriel, until you hear from me. Oh, I'm going down to the river, put my feet down in the sand. Gonna cry, Hosanna, when I reach that promised land. Oh, there ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, get up out of the ground, cause you ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. No, you ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And not only that, if we're in one of those graves, we're going to get up first.
Well, I just want to give a little testimony, and I'll try not to take up a lot of time, but some things are on my heart. And I don't know if a couple of years ago, how many of you met Mark, my previous husband that died of cancer. And when he died, I was devastated. I mean, I just felt like I was ready for the Lord to take me too. And I thought about what Pastor Brock said about how we can have perfect peace in the midst of the storm. And the Lord has done that for me so many times. And when he died, I mean, I had a fear of being alone, spending the night by myself, staying alone. And we lived out in the country. And the kids had come down when we had his funeral, and they stayed with me through all that. And when they went home, the first thing that hit my mind, I thought, oh, Lord, you know, I'm going to be by myself. And not only that, about 2 weeks after his funeral, I guess it was, is that about right? That tornado went through there, so the electricity was ripped out. I didn't have electricity for a whole week, no running water. But you know, the very first night that I stayed there by myself, I went to sleep and slept like a baby. And then when that tornado went through and we didn't have electricity, you know, and there's a lot of vandalism and stuff like that when there's so much destruction. And I mean, when it would get dark and I'd blow out the candles, it would be so dark I couldn't tell if my eyes were open or closed. And I can't hardly, when I am by myself, I have to play my Bible CDs all through the night to have peace. But I didn't have a way to do that. But you know, I would go to sleep every night when it would get dark, and I had just peace, no fear, no fear. And I thought about that when Pastor Brock said that, about having that perfect peace. And yeah, I want to do a song here. I love this song. It's called "Cause Jesus Said So."
There was a storm out on the sea one dark night. Strong winds blow out of control. They thought they would die, but the Master arose, and when he spoke, the storm had left. Because Jesus said so.
I love this little song. It's a simple song. And Warren said last night, he said, I really don't want to do that one. I said, well, we're going to.
not because of the words or anything like that, but just how some of them come out of me.
Each other and the storm.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Would y'all mind convincing Tina to sing just one more, please? It's not polite to whisper in public.
Shine on by heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame.
What Tina really said last night was, I don't tell you what to say. You don't tell me what to sing. And it was her birthday, and I had to love her anyway. Yeah, I just really want to thank you all so much. This is not my home. It was not any of our home, eternal home. But I love to bring Tina down here. I do love South Florida very much. And someday we would love to move down here. And I'd love to bring her down here because she loves all of you all. She has her greatest, fondest memories from down here. And of course, her mom and dad live here, as well as some other relatives. And she used to travel around these parts with Bronx Granddad, Papa Dylan, entertaining a lot of people. And the success of that caused others to encourage her to go to Nashville and use her voice for herself. And it wasn't really her calling. So she had the gifts for it, as you can tell. She definitely had everything that it would take to be a success in Nashville or L.A. or anywhere else. But God had another use for her. And when we first met, she had reached a point, as she said, she, you know, she really loved her husband. She couldn't see herself going through life without him. And Satan had really attacked her, and because she had a group, was in a group up there that was singing three or four times virtually every weekend, and just people coming from all over, had a following, people that would follow her and the group where they went. They were called the Bama Joymakers. And their gospel singing and music brought a lot of people closer to the Lord every time. But what she didn't tell you was that a couple of weeks before her husband passed, your grandmother had passed. A couple of weeks later, her husband passed. 10 days later, the tornado came through, went across the entire state of Alabama, most of Mississippi, a good part of Georgia. In Alabama, if y'all don't remember, it killed over 300 people alone. And in her community, in a small part of her county, 17 people were killed, and the community had about 170. 9 people in one family. And the tornado went all around her house. Not even a flower pot on the deck was blown over. So that was a sign to her that God probably had a little bit more in mind for her. And then a couple of weeks later, Papa Dylan passed away. And then she got bit by some kind of insect while she was mowing the grass and almost lost her leg. Don't take any insect bite lightly. If it doesn't go away, if it starts growing, getting redder, go to the doctor. But anyway, not long after that, we met, and Satan had just convinced her that what she needed to do was become a hermit and give up singing, because obviously he only wanted her to sing with that group. Her husband played bass, and another very talented individual played the piano. And he came down with cancer as well. And so the group, well, there was no group. And Tina was praying a lot about it, and I encouraged her. I heard a CD before I met her. Started falling in love with her then, and I just told her, I said, you know, I think God didn't give that to you to use just for a few years. That God has a much more planned for your use of the gift he gave you. And you don't have any right to tell him how he needs to limit that. Excuse me, sometimes I get a little emotional because I don't do this often. And I've already taken over half of my time. But I had never sung in public other than, you know, my cats hearing me when I was in the shower and where I went to church. We had beautiful singing, but no choir and no musical instruments. So after we'd been married for a little while, Tina came upstairs and said, "You got to come downstairs." I said, "For what?" I mean, we just moved in, had a few roaches and everything. And she said, "You got to sing with me. You got to practice." And I said, "Why?" She said, "The Spirit's been driving me crazy the last 3-4 nights, just telling me," because she would practice every night, telling me to come up here and get you. And I said, "Webby, I think sometimes Satan speaks to you too, not just the Spirit." Anyway, she said, "No, it was God's Spirit, and you got to come downstairs." So I'm not going to argue with her, and I'm certainly not going to argue with the Spirit. So I did that. And then from some of our Bible discussions, she had asked me, she said, I think you have more that God has in mind for you than you're using. And I think you ought to seek some opportunities to share some of your thoughts. And I said, "Well, I'm a smart man, and I will do that." This also proves I'm a smart man because I've never had a mustache for. But my baby doll said, I'd really like to see what you look like in a mustache. Being a smart man, I didn't shave again for a few weeks. I just, like I say, Tina and I love coming down here, and we love listening to the tapes, Bronk, and we always love listening to God's Word, no matter who he's speaking through, but we do particularly enjoy yours. And, I really want to thank you and all of you for staying longer than you'd planned. You probably thought when he spoke early and a little short that you all might be getting out of here early. And if you need to leave, please go ahead. I will not be offended. But I did ask Bronk if I could take a little time to say something. And like other preachers where I've done that in the past, the initial thought is, I don't know this man's spiritual beliefs. I'm not sure I can let him do that. But Bronk, thank you, because he did. And so hopefully this is all of the Spirit. You know, as Bronk preaches and Brother Dave preaches, and I saw on the sign where he's coming again soon here, you hear many, many, many blessings about the wonderful love of God and his provision for us and protection of us and desire to guide us if we'll yield our lives and to open our spirits to his Spirit being able to come in and make us the powerful children of God, not the fearful children of God. But you go to a lot of other congregations and you hear a lot of hellfire and brimstone. And, they both have their part. I mean, frankly, when I was saved at the age of 18, man had me convinced I didn't want to go to hell. But the Spirit went to work after that and turned that spirit of fear into a spirit of love. So however you are led to the Lord, accept it and go with it. It's the right thing. But you know, as we read through the Bible, there's all kind of just promises from God, saying if you'll just trust me and obey me and honor me, I will bless you. I will bless you. It wasn't just for the Jewish nation. It was for all of his children. But he's also a just God, and he has a plan, and he's righteous, and he's fair, much more than fair. But there's a passage that I've heard a few. I've been a Christian now, 44 years. I've heard a lesson or two on what good shall it do a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul. In fact, in Matthew 16:26, from this translation, says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Forfeits doesn't apply just to ball games. It means he loses his soul. He voluntarily, or due to a violation of rules in sports, he forfeits his soul. So what good will it do us if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? I don't know about you all, but at one point in time, I had exchanged my loyalty, my thoughts, actions, for a whole lot less than the whole world. You know, I don't know about some of you. Maybe you have made some decisions over time that you sort of had to decide between what your conscience was telling you or what a brother, a Christian brother or sister were telling you, or what you read in the Bible, or however God might have spoken to you. You had to choose between that and a promotion, some kind of relationship. With maybe somebody says, if you love me, this is what you got to do to prove it. All those different things. But a lot of times we may have forfeited our character, if not our soul, for a whole lot less than the whole world. And Jesus knew, because Jesus had been taken to the top of a mountain by Satan and said, you see all of this? I'll give it all to you if you'll just bow down and worship me. And, you know, Jesus didn't argue with him. Satan could have given him all of the world. He didn't say, I mean, he quoted scriptures, but he didn't say, you're a lying dog. You don't have control over the whole world. You can't give it to me. He just said, no, I've got a God. I am God. That ain't going to happen. But if you have exchanged your soul, you know, Paul persecuted Christians, and we take that a little bit lightly, but basically he went and took names, turned them in, had them arrested, turned them in to be killed or whatever. And that's why he said he was called himself the chiefest of all sinners. And it goes on to say, and this is what I really wanted to talk about, that same passage, I don't really hear, I don't remember hearing a lesson on this part of it. But it says, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, the Bible talks about us staying rebellious or apathetic or whatever long, so long that our hearts are hardened. And it may be pretty much impossible to get our soul back. But if we have, if we have exchanged our soul for too long, and you know what's too long, if it's taking you away from God any time at all, it's too long. And some of us have gone way, way, way too long in separating ourselves. As Bronk read the other day, he's persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we can separate ourselves from the presence of God. And so if you have done that, this says, or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, if Satan is the one that has your soul, and he really can control all the riches and everything of the world, brother, what are you going to give that Satan wants? You know? I mean, really, what? What do you have that he wants? He's probably given you a large part of what you have if you've been following him. But, he brings bad stuff, not just good. But I know I don't have anything to give. There's a passage now I'm getting into and forgotten which one is going along there. But turn to Ephesians 2:12. He says that, 11, he says, 12, remember that at that time, and you just told them that they were separated from the love of God, the childhood of God, because they were not Jewish people. They weren't circumcised. So for a while there, they were separated because they were Gentiles. And he says, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise without hope and without God in the world. Have any of you ever felt hopeless? Felt like you were trapped in a job, trapped in a relationship, trapped in a illness? Trapped in anything, and you had done everything you could. You maybe even got brothers and sisters to pray for you, but nothing seemed to work, and you were just hopeless. Well, that's bad. But it's even worse to feel that you have no hope for the life to come because you weren't one of God's children. Well, in Romans 5, turn over there. Y'all been getting some word from Roman here lately with Bronk. It's wonderful preaching on Sunday and maybe previously. And now I'm bringing a little bit from Romans. Verse 5 in Romans 5 says that, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, you can just put your name in there, my name in there. At just the right time, when I was powerless, Christ died for me. And it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent and gave, sacrificed, had his only son killed, so that those of us who believe in him might have life eternal." So, brother and sister, you're absolutely right. I don't know what you've done. I know what I've done. You don't. But it doesn't matter. We could not give anything. We could not give anything to get our soul back if we've given it away. But the good news is, we don't have to. God gave it. God gave Jesus so that we could get our souls back. Now, it does say, so that those who believe in Jesus as God's only begotten Son, that if we believe, we can then have life eternal. Yeah, I knew it. I've got to believe. You know, the Lord says also that we are saved by grace through faith. And then he breaks and says, and even that's from God as a gift. Okay. So he gives us the faith to believe. He gives us everything we need to get your soul back, to get my soul back. I've got other scriptures, but that's it. Thank you.
Good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, when they come back again, I think he's got another spot. Hallelujah. That's good. Oh, I enjoyed the singing too, didn't you? Wasn't that great? Hallelujah. Tonight we're just going to take a regular offering because the church needs it and be blessed with it. But if you just want to put a little extra in there, we'll bless them a little bit. I think that'd be a good thing to do, right? But you don't have to make it out directly. Just, you know, put in your regular offering, you know, that 2,000 or 3,000 that you were going to do. And, you know, I mean, you know, the chump change, the small stuff. Hallelujah. That was wonderful. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Homer's going to be ministering Sunday, as I said. He may, because you know he's, and his sight is improving all along. Isn't that great? I've been asking him. He's getting better and better. He's working this thing out, doing whatever he needs to do. And he's got a, like me, like a lot of us men, he's got a good bride beside of him that's helping him and making him do the right things. And hallelujah. But while he's catching his healing, and he really is, he's going forward. If he needs any of these lights dimmed on Sunday, that helps because it's hard right now while he's progressing in his healing. I don't know what I'm going to ask Paul because I don't. There's no way to know. I mean, you could speculate, but I've heard people say, but it's all speculation. What their best? He said he was talking to the church, and he wrote to him. He said, and the infirmity that was in my flesh. Now, he wasn't talking about something. He was talking about the infirmity that was in his flesh. I don't know what it was. He said that was in my flesh. So I know he got past it, what it was. He said, the infirmity that was in my flesh, you did not despise me because of it. So he was preaching when he went there to him. And he had something that was, he said, He said, you did not despise me because of the infirmity that was in my flesh. And because he said, and I know your love for me. If it would have been possible, you'd have plucked out your own eyes. Was it that? I don't know. But it was something. And I'll guarantee you he walked out of it. But whatever it was, I'm going to ask him, Paul, what was it that you were... Might have been he had just gotten past one of those stonings and he was in that place where he was confessing his healing and he staggered in. I'm preaching to you, church. And they say, you don't look like the epitome of healing that you're teaching. Well, I am. I'm telling you, don't despise me because I'm walking through this thing. I just got beat, you know, 2 weeks ago and I'm, you know, I can't see real good right now. But before it's all over with, I'll be healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, whatever he needs Sunday, you'll give it to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. But right now, which one of you guys feel blessed? You're pointing to him? You're pointing to him? Because whoever brings it up is going to pray over it. All right. Hallelujah. Come on. One of you. I had a good time. It was really wonderful. Thank you, Warren. Tina. Tina's parents. Mom and Dad. Hallelujah. So it was your birthday yesterday and his birthday today, just one day apart. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tina and her father or dad. Hallelujah. All right. So why don't you just, let's just... I said you were going to pray. Right? Get the mic. After this, you can bring it up, fellowship, and I'll see you soon. And the rest of you will see each other, some of you on Friday night, and everybody else on Sunday. Pray over this. Bless the people. Bind hell. Loose angels. Bring the revival at the end of the
prayer. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for the people who came out. Thank you for the word, Father. Thank you for the wonderful music. We just thank you that you have met all our needs, Father, that you provided for us. Just bless everybody who goes out. Just be with them. Peace, comfort, love, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.